I'm Mary Clark, and this is Mary Clark Traveler. Today, I'm taking you on the streets, roads, and highways of Cuba, where one often feels caught in a time warp. Let's start with Havana. All have seen beautiful photos of the 1950s cars preserved when Fidel Castro's revolution stopped time in 1959. Havana's close association with the United States meant almost all then existing cars were American brands. Because of the later U.S. embargo, import of new cars came to a halt, as did carports. The latter was solved by ingenuity and determination. As one taxi driver told me, in Cuba, todo tiene valor. Everything has value. The cars were not repaired with genuine Chevrolet parts, but somehow have continued to run. There were far more classic cars than I expected. As I walked a block on a fairly busy street in a tourist area, I counted 25 passing by, or about half of the cars. Called almendrones for their almond shape, many are used as taxis on a set route, while nicer ones are individual taxis that cost a bit more than their Soviet counterparts. The famous photos are of those in pristine shape, but many look better outside than inside. These 1950s cars have been declared a national treasure and can be sold only to fellow Cubans. American collectors may have a long wait to get their hands on these. In the suburbs, the numbers of Eisenhower-era cars diminish and dilapidated Soviet Ladas from the 70s and 80s appear. Originally used to reward workers, these make up much of the used car stock. Most looked road hard and put up wet. It was only in the wealthier Miramar suburb, where the imposing RoboCop-shaped Russian embassy stands with other embassies and ambassadors' homes, that I saw a BMW, a couple of Mercedes, and newer Japanese cars. They were rare and notable. On the highway, an array of cars, trucks, buses, and horse-drawn carts made their way down an impressive set of highways. To Cuba's credit, the Central Highway of Cuba was originally built in the 1920s and extends 700 miles on four lanes linking the island east to west. Tributaries now run off the main road to smaller towns. Yet the amount of traffic on these nice roads was minimal, an indication of how few Cubans own cars and how expensive gas is. On a bus ride west into the Viñales province, I would occasionally wait minutes before seeing another car on the road. But ox-drawn plows and old tractors with vertical exhaust pipes still dot the landscape, moving at the speed of yesteryear. What was numerous on the roads were Cubans hitching a ride, lined up wherever the road widened. It wasn't important if a bus came first, or an almendrone on a set route, or an individual lending a hand, or even the classic horse-drawn cart. The latter was often a covered cart with benches down the side and an open back. One woman lifted her baby stroller into the cart before she hopped in. These are still in widespread use by passengers and farmers. Taxis were plentiful, and we found their drivers a law-abiding bunch. All stopped or at least slowed significantly at railroad crossings. Most seemed to stay close to the posted 60-mile-per-hour speed limit on the highways. All waited for traffic lights to change. There was no passing on the hills that I've experienced in other Hispanic countries. They were also chatty and wanted to share their experiences in Miami or tell of their family members who had moved there. We got to know Raul, a retiree who drives a taxi for extra money. His taxi carries no sign or machine, so negotiations were required for each trip. Raul's monthly retirement check is $10. He still gets a food allowance and free health care, but it's hard to make ends meet. He sported a 1957 Peugeot with torn seats, rear-view mirror that fell regularly, and shoulder belts drawn over the shoulder only when passing a policeman or a security check on the highway. The car also stalled at most stops. But we managed to get to San Pedro de la Norte, 30 miles east of Havana, and back, two times. We took on a hitchhiker at one point to help find an out-of-the-way village with a small Episcopal church. But we never felt in danger on any of our taxi rides and enjoyed visiting about their second jobs, their families, and even politics. When the U.S. embargo is lifted, Cuba's snapshot in time will gradually fade. More tourists will arrive, money will flow, new cars will be imported, Cubans will be able to purchase them. What I do hope remains, though, is the lesson learned from Cuba's years of scarcity, a lesson our throwaway society could use. Todo tiene valor. Everything has value.
Mary Clark is a retired attorney and lifelong traveler who began writing about her journeys in 2008. If you'd like to see photos from Mary's trips, read blog entries, and more, visit MaryClarkTraveler.com. Programming you hear on 88.9 KETR is brought to you in huge part thanks to listener support. Please dig deep and give what you can at KETR.org. Click support this station.
You are listening to All Things Considered on KETR. More NPR news is coming up in less than 2 minutes. Today's top headline stories.